Ladies and gents, today we have the lovable underdog, a decoupage coffee cup maker, a poetic punster, a musical spoon player, a tortured bluesman, a symbol of South City stardom in the greatest of river cities. He's an ex-highway matron, a KDHX DJ for his show Fishing with Dynamite, every Thursday from 10 a.m. to noon, and he's also one of the biggest endorsers of stag beer I know. Mr. Fred Friction, how are you, Fred?
I'm doing good.
And fantastic.
Nick, it is so good to see you again.
It's good to see you.
That's a mouthful of a description.
It is.
About
I'm glad you can appreciate it. Alongside Mr. Friction, we have veteran rocker, frontman for historically awesome St. Louis bands like Phonocaptors, Walkie Talkie USA, Sex of Color, Warm Jets USA, and the recording maverick behind Smoking Baby Studio in South City. The analog man himself, Mr. Jason Hutto.
The analog
Jason,
man.
How are you?
There we go again.
There we go again.
Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks so much.
It's nice to be here.
We'll have to clear up some analog issues.
Yeah. We. You know, he called you a veteran rocker, and that means you look old.
Yeah.
Distinguished.
He didn't call me veteran anything. Distinguished, yes.
Yeah.
And veteran.
Yeah, I look like a vet.
If inquiring minds would like to know why I have some of the most iconic South City musicians in the studio today, it's because Jason is recording Fred's upcoming full-length Murder Balladeer at his Smoking Baby studio. How long have you two known each other, guys?
A long, long time. Mm-hmm. We don't count the years.
After the first Valentine's Day, we kind of stopped doing that, didn't we?
Yeah. We met through... I was in a band called Highway Matrons, and the guitarist was Mark Stevens, and he had some dealings with Jason Hutto, and of course we ended up doing some recording with Jason. That's how we met years ago. I'm thinking 20 years ago.
15.
Yep. About 15.
But yeah, it's been a long time.
It has been a while.
I always imagined you both meeting at an open mic somewhere. It seems that those were both pretty pivotal to both you guys. Fred, open mics are where you wrote a lot of the material for your first solo record. Is that right?
At open mic?
Yeah.
No, I do it at home, and then I try it out at
well,
open mic.
You don't write it on the spot. Jason, I've learned open mics are really how you found your voice in a lot of ways, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Fred, I know you're still a regular at open mics around town, and I understand that you host an open mic called Chippewa Chapel, which has kind of moved around over the years. But it's now at the Heavy Anchor. When is that exactly?
Every Tuesday at sign up at 9, and we usually get started at 10 o'clock with some exceptions, like when me and Jason were there last night, and we got started about 15, 20 minutes late, or one of the staff came over to me saying, "Are you about ready to go or not?" I said, "Well, yeah. So... It's loose. It's a loose format.
Great.
But around 10 o'clock, the music starts every Tuesday at Heavy Anchor, 5226 Gravois, spitting distance from that building that's got the propeller on it.
Well, let's hear something that one might hear at an open mic like Chippewa Chapel. This is By the Lake. It'll be on Fred Friction's new album, Murder Balladeer.
When the world figures out that I'm a genius, I can kiss all my troubles goodbye. Until then, I'll carry on about my business, hoping any man can look me in the eye. And when the world figures out that I'm dangerous, I hope to heaven that won't be too late. When they all figure out that I was harmless, I hope they lay my body by the lake. Won't you lay my body by the lake? Lay my body by the lake, dear darling. Won't you lay my body by the lake? Comb my hair take my boots and keep my jewelry. But you will not find a heart for you to break.
By the Lake, Fred Friction and Jason Hutto. That's going to be on Murder Balladeer, the upcoming record being released in April. It's looking like 2013 is going to be a huge year for St. Louis music. Of course, our show here launched a month ago. There's lots of new St. Louis records coming out. Lou Fest partnered with C3, the producer of Lollapalooza and Austin City Limits. So that festival will really shine national light on the St. Louis bands playing those stages in September. And also another big change in our music community is KDHX moving to Grand Center. We'll be neighbors, Fred. What are some of the big changes that will come along with that for the KDHX move?
Well, most of that is we're moving to a bigger facility. We upgrade the equipment whenever we can. And being able to serve the community better with a performance space. They're even talking about a coffee shop being situated in there. I don't know everything, all the details on this. I'm a DJ that does his job as a volunteer, but sooner or later, very soon, that's going to happen. And it's great. It's great. It's something that's going to have more capability to help out the community. I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds great. I'm excited. I think there's going to be a venue up top or... There's going to be
They will have a venue. I looked around. I thought, wait, this is on the third floor. And I was told, someone pointed, there will be an elevator for the bands to load in and bring their equipment in. I was amazed. They're doing everything right, and it's going to be beautiful.
Moving on up. It's exciting to see. I know this next one is I'm Going Blind. It's on Tower Groove Records, which Jason Hutto produced, and... This recording is a lot fuller in comparison to Jesus Drank Wine, for instance. Did you guys want to say anything about I'm Going Blind?
Well, it's bigger, fuller, and it sounds different from my first record. It's bigger and fuller because Jason Hutto produced it. He did all the production and engineering on the sessions that culminated into... The Tower Groove Records, is it V1,
what
2,
was it,
or?
It was some sort of numeric code.
Yeah.
Honestly, I should know that by now because it was debated. There's a bunch of numerology going on.
Is V1 Volume 1, I believe.
I don't remember. But it looks
cool.
Or V2. As a layout, it looks
The
V2 really
stood for, it's on
double,
vinyl.
Yeah.
It's on vinyl. It was a
two-disc
vinyl effort, which was amazing. We had so much time to do this in. Two records in one package, and that Volume 1 is the promise that there will be a sequel. And Jason Hutto and some other guys in the community spearheaded this whole idea. Why don't we get together, form a collective? Not a label. Other people can call it a label. They can call it Tower Groove Records because it sounds like a label. Basically, it's a collective that people come in and say, I want to be part of this. I want to be exposed to St. Louis, to other people. They're helping to facilitate that. One of the reasons I'm proud of him, the reason I want him as a producer on my next album, has more to do with his technical expertise and his personality.
Patience.
Let's talk Smoking Baby, Jason.
For the
listener, Smoking Baby is a studio in Jason's South City basement with a lot of old gear that produces some really awesome sounds. Roy Kasten has described your studio in the Riverfront Times as lean, mean, and filthy. To call Smoking Baby a rock and roll kind of place is to somewhat understate the case. It's dark, covered in grime and ash, and it sounds pretty good. Beautiful words by Roy Kasten, and I have to say, the songs that come from that studio sound spectacular. Especially on vinyl and big speakers. I take it that's not a smoke-free studio.
No, it's not.
I think when Kasten said lean, mean, and filthy, maybe he was talking about Jason.
That might have been.
I don't know.
No, it's funny. The perceptions of that place are always interesting. I mean, I guess it is old equipment. It's old equipment because it's a bunch of crap from, I don't know, the past 15 years of my life, and it's all cheap, crappy stuff. But what we try and do is use it. Nothing is more of a myth than that basement. But what's wonderful about it is that people feel comfortable and they enjoy being down there.
So, Jason, it is not necessarily analog. Everyone describes it.
Yeah, everyone says I'm an analog. You know, there's so many guys. There's so many. Gary Copeland. There's a number of people in St. Louis that have these really wonderful analog studios. And I always feel a little bit embarrassed and, you know, it's like it's not really analog. I just don't have a computer down there. And I think that's what people associate that. And, you know, we mix everything live and we do, you know, very bunch of hands are on deck to cue things out and push faders around and bull wrangle this, all these sonics. And that's also part, I mean, that's kind of part of the whole process for us. And it's an enjoyable way to make records. It's almost like dancing with these band members. It's kind of neat. But it's not necessarily an analog studio, other than I do have a bunch of analog crap down there, but it's not the cool analog stuff that everybody's like, oh, I bet he's got this and this and this. And then they want to come, take a look at the studio and I'm like, are you sure? Because you might be disappointed. But usually those people end up, you know, kind of getting a kick out of just what we have to work with, those limitations that I have. And that's actually sort of why things sound a certain way that they do. And to some ears, they sound probably awful. To other ears, they're so refreshing. Because it isn't the thing that, you know, making records these days is a whole other kind of process than what the way we make records down there. So
I think it's really great. I think that whole we'll fix it in the mix mentality is sort of plagued musicians for the past 40 years or so.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us are against all this awesome new music tech, but it's refreshing to see somebody do that.
Yeah, and I've never been anti that. I just I don't have those means, and I actually like the dirty edges a lot, and especially more so these days because we don't get to hear them anymore. And when we listen, you know, I was talking with maybe, I don't know who I was talking to, but I was listening to Hurricane by Neil Young and 2 weeks ago as a reference just to get into a state of mind down there. And it was funny because I was thinking that record would never be made today. And what a drag. So maybe I'm searching to keep finding those moments of wrong notes that sound so right. You know, I don't know.
I think in many ways you two are really the perfect collaborators. There's definitely an old school sensibility to Fred's songs, and Smoking Baby seems to follow a similar approach in the recording process. Were all the songs on the Tyro Groove Records LP recorded that way?
Yeah, that was a interesting. The way we did that, we basically set up, almost like a back line of equipment, and bands would come in and they would just rotate in. So you had this constant influx of all these musicians coming in and out, and it would be, I don't know how many the most in a day that we would do. I can't remember, but it was just this process where you just had band members rolling in and playing the songs that they were going to, or playing the single that they were going to put on this LP, and it was a really cool vibe. And there was a certain sound that happened as a result of all of us just using this same equipment. And granted, everybody has different needs or whatever, so we tried to accommodate that and have it set up. But there was something about it that had a cohesiveness that was interesting that I didn't really expect, because, you know, you put three different drummers on the same drum kit, and that drum kit's going to sound entirely different, or guitar players or bass players or vocal, whatever. But it was, there was still a cohesiveness that was exciting and kind of fun to work with as a whole piece. You know, it felt like even though there was 20 some bands on that LP, those two LPs, there was something that binded them together. And, you know, and maybe it was a vibe. I don't know. But it was a neat process.
It definitely spills over on the record. That just makes it that much cooler. Mm-hmm. That's an awesome piece of work you have there.
Thanks. It was enjoyable.
There's so many nice surprises on that double LP. Sleepy Kitty covering Pavement.
Yeah.
Bunny Grud covering The Welders.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Theodore completely rocking.
Yeah, the last Theodore track.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, of course, a brilliant recording of Fred and so much more. It's a wild idea that seemed to come together very organically.
It was, yeah. The whole process of Tower Groove Records started, in a backyard. And one guy, Adam Hess, had this sort of kind of just idea that a lot of people have had. And he asked me if I wanted to be involved with it, and I said no. And
I think you were the unit that helped everybody solidify and get things done. You're a guiding light.
Smoking Baby is where Murder Balladeer will be recorded.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great title, by the way, Fred. How did that name come about?
That's one of the songs that is on the record, on the upcoming record, that we haven't even recorded yet. We still have to do that. But it's the title that Chris King helped me pick that out, and he's on... He's one of the executive producers, along with Jackie Brown from St. Louis Curio Shop. Chris King suggested, one, we get this campaign started and get another album out. And he suggested, let's call it Murder Balladeer. I said, that's the one song with a unifying something about it. It sounded good as an album title. It is not going to be a full album of 10 songs about murdering people. There's one song as this, and another song about this. But it's the one song that really, the title that stood out. And Chris is a journalistic man who has a good ear for words. And when he suggested that, I agreed. That's how that came about.
Can we expect your musical spoons to be on Murder Balladeer?
Yeah, on one or two songs, but... On record, I don't make a whole record of spoon songs because that would be irritating as hell. In a live environment, I'll play all night long.
It's still irritating.
We plan on accenting a couple of songs with spoons percussion. And I'm being honest about this from my perspective and from somebody in the audience. Yeah, spoons is cool and it's cute. But I would not want to listen to 45 minutes of that.
I think that's a good call.
Bagpipe music, you know?
Yeah. Your first solo release, Jesus Drank Wine, recorded with Patrick Resilius, has a very pure, raw demeanor about it. A sound that complements your songwriting well. Are you two interested in producing a similar ruggedness, or will this sound like a bigger studio record?
The whole thing with Patrick Resilius is I had listened to some of the stuff he had done, which was very... smooth and nice. So I went in with an attitude that I'm going to go over the top and make this hard for him to deal with. On this record, dealing with Jason Hutto, it's kind of the other way around. I'm taming down a little bit, and he's the one that will take one of my songs and try to turn it into a Jason Hutto song.
Yeah,
he tried to do that once or twice, and we did 5, 6, 8 takes, and I finally said, "This ain't working."
I like to push people out a little bit.
Yeah, I'd like to push people out of your chair right now.
Oh, well, if what you guys did
that
did.
with Antique 8-track player, and it just didn't work. And the next week, I came up with a different song that I considered was going to be like a nice slow ballad. And I said, Jason, here's the one we do this on. Because it didn't have that many words, for one thing. And that worked. Yeah. And that worked. And he's got so much power behind him and force. And he's stubborn. But he's dealing with a stubborn man also.
It's nice. I think what happens, you know, it's like when you get into a situation like that, the whole idea, I'm never right. I don't care even if that's the final decision. I'm never right. It never comes down to right or wrong. But I do always like to stretch out, even though an idea that I think a direction should go, if I feel comfortable if I feel too comfortable, then I feel like it's an uncomfortable place to be. So when I'm working with other people, I want to push them into a position where they feel uncomfortable, so they stand their ground.
That is a reason I want to work with him, because when he puts together a project, it's not just to put out a record, just to have somebody sing songs, just to have them do that. That's been done before. It's been done before. He wants to push boundaries, not only of the artist, to even to the getting close to making them irritated, but he pushes his own boundaries. I recognized that about Mr. Jason Hutto a long time ago, and I'm delighted he agreed to deal with me, let's put it that way, deal with me on this upcoming project. And who knows who's going to be the last man left standing? I don't know.
We still got more tracking.
We still got more tracking to do and a lot of hollering to do at each other.
It's nice to have a relationship with people like that, though, that, those pushes and those tugs and all of those things. That's what's so amazing about music. And actually, in the whole concept of rock and roll, that's why I love... Yeah, we were even talking about Woody Guthrie last night and had this whole thing. It's like people pushing out whatever boundaries, whatever their comfort zones are. It's not fair. You said something about that, too. Inspiration comes at funny moments.
All right, I will paraphrase. It's an artist's duty to discomfort those who are comfortable and comfort those who are uncomfortable.
Let's get into one of the songs that'll be on Murder Balladeer. This is Long Hard Road.
It's a long hard road. It's a beat up car. Getting close to 3 o'clock. They'll be closing up this bar. That's how it goes. I just hate that phrase. When they say that's how it goes, I tell them, well, that ain't how it stays. A long hard road, and I've been rode hard. See, way too much heartache happening. I got a wooden bottom now. this ain't gonna be no fun.
Excellent work, gentlemen. That was Long Hard Road. Fred Friction and Jason Hutto. It's going to be on Murder Balladeer. You guys are doing the crowdfunding thing with Indiegogo.com for Murder Balladeer. In case you're unfamiliar with Indiegogo, it's essentially a crowdfunding site where you can help fund a project and receive cool comps for pledging. In this case, it's a copy of Fred's new record, a private house concert, or a spoon playing workshop at the Folk School of St. Louis.
The Indiegogo campaign is like a Kickstarter campaign. It's almost synonymous. It's just another competitor that does that. Jackie Brown set that up and referred that to me, and I trust her judgment. She said, this is the way to go, Indiegogo.com, to raise some money to put out another album. I'm broke, so this is the way we're going to get things done. She said, we can do it. So far, things have been going beautifully. We've been doing different shows just to raise people's awareness that this is going on. Here's where you can donate online to get this done. And we have more shows to do, especially on, there's one coming up February 27th at Nico in the Loop, where Brant's used to be. It's Nico across the road from, right across the street from Blueberry Hill. We're going to do another show, and that'll be the night before the end of the campaign. We have a big goal to meet. We have a lot of people to pay. We have a lot to do, and it's coming along. We're a little bit over halfway on the recording and much less on the fundraising, so that's why we want to remind people about this, their opportunity to help me do some kind of vanity project that I ultimately...
You deserve it.
Ultimately will be a scrapbook for the world to appreciate.
It's something I see more and more bands do these days, and it's an idea that I think has great potential in the music world and beyond. Let's get into another cut. This is I Gave It to My Neighbor by Fred Friction and Jason Hutto.
This one, I do want to give a disclaimer on this song. This song is about the character in the song being a very loving person separated from someone that he loves more than anybody else in the world. Well, I gave it to my neighbor just to show I did not hate her. I gave it to a girl named Emmy Lou. Always pay me later. Yeah, I give it to her babysitter too. I gave down at the office and I gave outside behind the church. I'm no longer welcome at the zoo.
Yeah.
Tempur-Pedic mattress. Me and her, one big camera crew. I gave it to some little whore. She was going door to door. Got some Girl Scout cookies for you too. So many, you might think I don't have any left to give or take at all. That ain't true. We could go back to the start, before the whole thing fell apart. Let me come back home and give my heart to you.
I gave it to my neighbor, Fred Friction and Jason Hutto. Fred, being a talent booker for Frederick's Music Lounge for all those years, has undoubtedly helped you to become close with a lot of St. Louis musicians. So I'd imagine it makes it easier to have people play on your record. Is that right?
Yeah, I've met a lot of people. And like on the last record, just called in favors.
It's like 14.
And I would, yeah, I would remind somebody, remember when you didn't want to bring your bass cabinet? You knew that I had one in the basement, so you would just call me and say, hey, can I, tonight, when we're playing there, can I just borrow that? And I said, yeah, okay, we can do that. So later on, years later, I'm putting out a record, I call in my favors, I say, and I call them on it. I said, now I want you to play on the record. Won't take you long, about 15 minutes or so, and we'll be doing that again.
Yeah, there were nearly 20 other people on that last record.
There's a bunch.
Will there be that many, let's say, will there be a lot of St. Louis musicians on Murder Balladeer there was for that record?
No, we're not done yet, so yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know. We're streamlining things from the get-go and then putting icing on the cake afterwards. And I will defer to the judgment of my producer, Jason Hutto, on decisions like that.
That's really exciting.
Although we may have a special guest.
It's like you're setting up a rumble.
We may have a special guest. Jimmy Griffin might be playing cowbell on this record.
Yeah, that's right. He did sign up for cowbell.
Yeah.
But the Doc Ellis Band rhythm section that's like the key so far.
That is what we're using to get the root of the songs and then adding more afterwards. Yep. He knows what he's doing. I'm just a songwriter.
Yep. There you go. Jason, I know you've been involved in too many bands to mention. You're really an incredibly underrated talent, in my humble opinion.
Thanks so much.
I know you've both worked with Bill Streeter.
I think he's overrated.
I know you've both worked with Bill Streeter for his lo-fi sessions. And to quote Bill, if the universe were fair and just, Jason would be rich and famous, but he's not. He bangs away with his bands at night and makes a living doing something else. For most artists, that's just as well. Wealth and fame aren't all they seem to be. But what is an important to a true artist is the work. And if the work is good, that's all that matters in the end. That we've made our mark on the world in even a small way. Wow. I think that that's something that will always ring true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that recognition for your talent is a real nice thing, but to a true artist, their art is everything. And I feel that that may be true for both of you and that Murder Balladeer will be a brilliant display of real artistry at work.
Yeah. You just said something that really strikes at the core of why I'm working with him.
I can see that.
Because
it's very obvious.
It is not fame or money. He's yesterday I'm talking to him, and he just nonchalantly tells me of different people he was in the same room with or on stage with internationally. And to him, it's just very nonchalantly.
Yeah,
he knows how to – it is not about the fame for him. And
it's about production,
it ain't about
producing,
money,
and continuing.
Although he deserves it, his eye is on getting something done that's important. I'm very lucky I ran into him.
I've always felt it's actually more important.
And haven't pissed him off yet.
No. I've always felt like it's way more important to just continue to produce material. And granted, we all need to support that in some way, which is what's nice about these Indiegogo campaigns and so on. You know, people can find ways to support what we do because, you know, we don't make any money at this, but in the end, we really are just trying to put out music, and it's not a martyr thing. It's just it's basically going back to the same idea. It's more primal. It's like, hey, we're making music as a community, and I don't know. But it's nice to hear those words. Don't get me wrong.
The Indiegogo's Last Hurrah Party is February 27th at Nico's on Del Mar. And the CD release show for Murder Balladeer is Saturday, April 13th at Off-Broadway. Jason Hutto, Fred Friction, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And I'd like to add that hopefully at the CD release, Jesse Hammack from Powder Mill will be the opening act. I still need to confirm that, but that's pretty much on the hot plate.
April 13th, Off-Broadway.
Yes.
Sounds great. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick.
I'm Nick Garcia. You're listening to Arch City Radio Hour.